Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder-Nellis. Sparky in for him today. That would be me, Mason Crosby, here as well as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Joining us now from the Green Bay Press Gazette, he is everyone's favorite, Pete Doherty. Good morning, Pete. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. We're hanging in there.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about these Pro Bowlers that get announced before we get to the Jair Alexander news, because obviously that's top of everybody's mind. So you get Josh Jacobs in, Rashawn Gary in, Xavier McKinney in, fine. But then alternates, Elgton Jenkins first alternate, cool, I'm fine. Other alternates, Jordan Love, fine. Kenny Clark, don't get. Keyshawn Nixon as a return specialist, sure. Tucker Kraft, Josh Myers, and Jair Alexander. But no Zach Tom. I think that is the one that's the most surprising out of all of these.
Yeah, the you know, it's funny because I'm a Hall of Fame voter, and
yes, you are.
So you know, we go over all this stuff. You know, like when you're talking about a player's credentials, you know, there's All Pro, MVPs, you know, there's Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl basically counts for almost nothing now. You know, when we're going over this stuff, at least for me, and I think for a lot of the voters, it's just you know, a guy makes the Pro Bowl probably 2 years after he should, and then he keeps making it for a couple of years after he shouldn't, and there's guys who just don't make it at all. So I don't pay super close attention to it because every year there's
the search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's ridiculous results like this.
Yeah, I'd agree. This is Mason Crosby, and yeah, appreciate you coming on. And I think that, like a Zach Tom, I know, like, that's yeah, Sparky kind of keeps saying his name, just not name. He doesn't have name recognition. He's not a guy that, like, you just say across the NFC or the NFL, like, who are some top, you know, who are some top offensive linemen? He just doesn't have the recognition yet. So I agree with you. I think Pro Bowl is about like recognition. If you have a really great season and you miss it, like sometimes, and like you don't get picked for that Pro Bowl, the next year you might almost like have a, you know, just an average year, and then all of a sudden you're on that Pro Bowl ballot and like you make it in. So it's almost like a year late usually for in my mindset for the Pro Bowl, and like all you have to do is almost you know, kind of reaffirm to everybody, all right, that wasn't a flash in the pan. You know, can we vote for it? Sometimes there in Green Bay, my opinion on it too was like I look at other teams, they're pushing everybody, any starter. It's like all that. Like, I feel like the Packers are a little discerning on who they like promote for fans to vote for in the Pro Bowl. And they kind of like try to just keep it tight. And they're just like, there's like this hope that if you get two or three guys in, all right, that's good. We got some recognition. Let's just try to get a few guys every year in. And I think the fans sometimes just attach to those guys and don't spread their votes out enough for the whole team. But yeah, it's an interesting new world of the Pro Bowl, and the game itself, the Pro Bowl games, all the stuff. It's a little gimmicky for my liking. So the Pro Bowl is interesting. My kids though love it. Like they wanted to watch it last year. They liked the new concept. It was more engaging and more entertaining for them. So obviously they know who they're targeting and the demographic they're going for.
Yeah, that's not dumb. I mean, at least they got rid of the game. That was unwatchable, and it was stupid to risk. You got the best players in the league, and you're putting them out there risking an injury in a game that means less than nothing. So at least they got rid of that part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you're asking usually the top people, players in the league to come and risk something or do something for pretty minimal amount of money, as regards to their salary and all of that. So it's a tricky situation. But let's pivot, because I know everyone wants to talk more about like Jair and his situation. I got some hits on Twitter, because I talked about, like, even at 12 or 14 games a season, I mean, even if he plays 10 games a season, he's an elite corner, and you don't want to just lose a guy, especially if you're only saving $6.5 million, this next year. But I have a few people hitting me, and they're like, he never plays, he's always hurt, time to move on, let's get rid of him. He's basically missed the whole season, so what changes if you bring him back? I think fans, like, collectively want to move on, but I don't think they're seeing the big picture of like what he means on the field. I'd love to hear your opinion on where you see them going with Jair, and the feeling surrounding like what he, his health and how he can stay on the field.
Yeah, I lean towards thinking, probably even a little stronger than lean, that they'll end up cutting him or trade. I don't think they'll be able to trade him because of his contract, but maybe they could. So I lean fairly strongly that way, but I don't dismiss the chance that they could keep him, because they're going to be good next year. And that's kind of, year three for Love, this young team. Next year, I think, was when they made the changeover from Rodgers to Love. 26 was always, I think, kind of the year where, especially if you follow, the trajectory Rodgers had, that third season as starter was the year where things, if they're going to come together, that was going to be the year for it to happen.
For sure.
And so having a guy, as good as Alexander is important. They want to win next year. They could be good. But I looked at the free agent market, and it's bad. And for corners, there's no one even comparable to Josh Jacobs or McKinney at the cornerback position for next year. So that's the argument for keeping them, is you pay $17.5 million. Because there's just nothing else out there, and you think you can be good. Now, you never know who might get cut for cap reasons, but that also means they're not, playing as well as they're not playing up to their contract.
Yeah.
And you'll have to draft like crazy either way, but especially if you get rid of them, you have to draft, two or three guys at that position, a couple of them pretty high, I would think. So it's not a cut and dried decision. It depends on how things go from here on out for the rest of the season. My guess is that the one worry is you keep him, you get him through the season, and then he gets hurt in December, January, and you don't have him in the games that count. And if that happens, it's foreseeable. Anybody can get hurt, but it's foreseeable with his injury history. So push to shove, I'm guessing they move on, but I don't think it's just a no-brainer decision, because they got a lot of things to think about there.
Pete, this is the thing. Here, I'll give you another reason to keep him. Zach Cruz had tweeted this out from Next Gen Stats. Packers with Alexander in the field, 61% completion percentage. Without, 70.7%. Passer rating with Alexander on the field, 77.5. Without, 95.3. Like, I don't, how much more evidence do you need? Yeah. Without him on the field, you don't have a really good cornerback. Nonetheless, you know, an all-pro caliber cornerback. Keyshawn Nixon has done an amazing job holding down the fort. Stokes and Valentine, and that's great. But you're talking about replacing somebody that a quarterback looks at and thinks twice about throwing at and goes somewhere else. Now you're going to have nobody out there that does that.
He's really good when he plays. I mean, that, you know, Philly had that big interception. He's really, really good. If it were my call, I mean, part of it depends on how things go the rest of the year. If it's my call, I'm probably moving on. And if they could trade him, like if he could get a two for him, I don't think anybody would do that because of the contract. But if you could, I would do that. But in saying that, there's a big risk because you're probably drafting a corner, two corners in the first three rounds, and those guys are going to have to play. Yeah. And you don't know if they're going to be any good or not, and playing rookies is, you know, risky even if they are good. But the injury history is just, there's a lot there, and so there's a big concern there that, you know, this is a lot of money. Now, maybe there's a diamond in the rough. You know, I looked at the free agent list, you know, perspective and free agents for the offseason, and there was nothing that jumped out at all. But maybe there's somebody in there that they think is a diamond in the rough that they could sign for, you know, $8 million a year, and then you draft the guys. My call, I'm probably cutting him or trading him, but I will completely get it if they ended up keeping him.
I'm never for getting rid of, like, great players, even if, like, that, like, he has a history of injury and that kind of thing. Like, the expectation that you're going to have every player for every game, I get he's had a little bit more and some different things, but I mean, the numbers don't lie. Like, you just can't move on from a guy, especially if you are anticipating being a great team the next year. Like, you're talking about going and finding a guy for $8 million, and then yeah, you're going to have to put, you know, two or three pieces around that. So you're getting rid of Jair. You're still eating $6.5 million on the cap. So you get a guy for $8 million. Yeah. So technically, you're probably saving $3 million, like, on what his his salary would be. And then you got it. You have to go draft two guys. So not wasting picks, but you're going to be getting those guys. I think you keep Jair. You draft, you know, his replacement. The guys that you want to develop under a guy like that. They're, again, if Jair is injury prone like he is, if he doesn't play some, those guys are going to get opportunities to develop and see, you know, like a great cornerback in action. I just, I think this team has probably, yes, overachieved of expectations these first 2 years with Jordan Love, with just kind of like how the team, you know, was, I think, expecting to be, and they've done a great job. But whenever there is expectations, you want those top guys on the field, and I think Jair is one of those.
Oh, he's definitely one of them. I do wonder, I guess I don't know, you know, we don't know the details of the injury. It sounds like, you know, he's only going to be out for a matter of, you know, weeks, you know, 2 months, whatever, you know, not like 4 or 5 months. So it's, you know, maybe not that serious. I mean, they're all serious, but it's not that serious, and it won't impact his performance that much in the future. I would love to sit in on the meetings when they discuss this and what they ultimately conclude.
I do think from like LaFleur's press conferences, like how he talks about Jair and his injuries and all that, like he seems a little tired of all of it. So just like kind of reading his voice and like his body language when he's asked about Jair. So like that, you know, is that writing on the wall? Maybe. Like, I don't know if LaFleur has all that power in the decision-making there, but it's like, you can just tell he's a little deflated with the whole situation around it. But Jair, as far as a team guy, a locker room guy, like his attitude whenever he is playing is infectious, but I do think he swings both ways. Like whenever it's not going well and he's injured and different stuff like that. And he's, I think, been open about that. He stayed in the off season, sorry, a few years ago where he, he said, like, I'm trying to be in the building. I'm trying to be that guy. I'm trying to get over this hump of, like, when I'm hurt, it doesn't, you know, my attitude and all those things aren't affected. So he's working on himself and working all that stuff. But you can tell LaFleur is a little tired of the rhythm of it just by the question. When he's asked a question about Jair, he just seems a little deflated every time he has to answer that question.
Yeah, they never – he never – just completely rushed to the guy's defense. And it was definitely, you definitely got a Za'Darius Smith vibe, you know, Smith last year here with that back injury. You got that kind of vibe from it. Now, maybe Alexander's surgery and, you know, maybe that changed the team's thinking and that, okay, you know, this was just something that was too much of a problem. And you know, maybe that whatever disconnect there was between the way the side saw the injury, maybe the surgery changed that. It's a tough call. Like I said, I definitely lean towards that. I'd move on. Obviously you guys lean towards keeping them. These things are always gray area decisions. You know, that's pretty rare when it's just black and white. And like I said, I would love to sit in the meetings and see what ends up being the deciding factor on what they do here. And they'll make this decision in what, like in February, late January or February, they'll make this call probably.
Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette, joins us. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. He joins us here on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thundernellis. He's off today. Sparky in for him as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. In the first segment of the show, we asked, how do expectations change knowing that Jair Alexander is out now for the rest of the year? For me, I'm telling you right now, I will not pick them against Philly. I will not pick them against the Lions, and I will not pick them against the Vikings. What say you, Pete Doherty?
Yeah, how can anybody in their right mind do it? Now, that doesn't mean they can't win. You know, if you really look at last year closely and look at them down the stretch, they weren't really playing that great down the stretch. I mean, DeVito beat them. Baker Mayfield put up a max passer rating and beat them by 2 scores. They needed a field goal with 19 seconds left to beat Carolina, and Carolina won, what was it, 2 games last year, 2 or 3? And then they beat Minnesota, but with Jalen Hall at quarterback. Yeah. I mean, you know, come on. And then they beat the Bears by 17-8 to get in the playoffs, or 17-9. And then that Dallas game just kind of came out of nowhere. So the Packers have talent. You know, they have quite a bit of talent. And maybe even with these 0-5 record against these three good teams, maybe they're closer than that 0-5 would suggest, and they'll come out and play a really good game. But I mean, there's just no way you can pick them to win those games, at least not in the first round. Now, if they play a great first round game, then maybe that changes. But if they're going to Philly, how do you pick the Packers to win that? That'd be a little crazy, but they could win it. They easily could win it.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're winnable games, but definitely takes a shot without Jair there. I have one more question for you, and it's something we talked about on Tuesday, and we might get into a little bit more here in later in the show. But like, where do you feel like Jordan Love ranks in this NFC quarterback playoff ranking? We did our rankings on Tuesday on where we thought they fell. I'd be interested to hear your opinion, being close to the team and always around there. Like, where do you rank Jordan in this NFC playoff race as far as quarterback play, and your feelings from how they've played and like where they would where they fall moving into this playoff picture?
Yeah, you know, you look at the division, you know, Goff and Darnold have played better than Love. Longer term, I'd rather have Love than either of them. And,
I agree.
You know, and Darnold hasn't, you know, he's been better, but, you know, the thing is, if you switch teams and you put Love on the Vikings and Darnold on the Packers, would the outcome of those two games been any different? I don't think so. And Darnold is, you know, he's more experienced. He's playing, he's more mature. He's playing better than Love this year, but Love has a higher ceiling. And, you know, just like he showed against the Cowboys last year, I mean, he's capable of really going off. So
yeah,
I'd rather have him than either of those two, but those two are playing better football this season as of up to today anyway.
There he is, Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
You betcha.
Right,
take care. There he is, Pete Doherty, joining us here. Real quickly here before we go to a break, Andy Herman just put this out here. As far as the salary cap numbers for Jair Alexander, depending on what they do, he says, yes, Jair is set to make $25.4 million in 25, and yes, the dead cap hit is $18.1 million, so there would be a cap savings of $7.27 million, but you have to account for 26 and 27 as well. Keeping Jair in 25 will cost Green Bay an additional $17.5 million overall. So the question you need to really ask isn't, would you keep him for $7.27 million? The question you need to ask is, would you sign him to a one-year $17.5 million deal? When you consider he's missed half of his games over the last 4 years, it seems like a fairly easy decision. If they release him this year, $18.1 million dead money in 25. That's a total hit of $18 million. They keep him for one season, that's $25.4 million in 25, with $10.2 million dead in 26 for a total hit of $35.6 million. If you keep him for two seasons, $25.4 million in 25, $27.4 million in 26, and then if you're done with him at that point, $2.4 million dead cap number, which means you've paid him $55.1 million for the next couple of seasons. So we're right back to where we started, which is Andy Herman, it looks like, leaning as well to releasing Jair Alexander. And I can't do it. I'm sorry. I mean, I understand the financial ramifications, Mason Crosby. I can't do it.
The numbers don't lie. I agree. Like that, I mean, he laid it out really well. But I'm going to just like leave this segment with one point. Look what we've done with the quarterback position. Like, look at like what like has gone wrong when we don't have a guy sitting in the wings waiting to come in and be in like one of those premier positions. So I think you keep Jair one more year. You draft his replacement. You draft a guy first round. Like your first pick needs to be the top corner you can get. And you develop him, and then you let, you know, let Jair go if that's what you want to do. Or maybe he's healthy, and you're like, all right, we're rolling. This team is great. He's under contract. Let's keep this going. You restructure, whatever. But I think you have to have a clear-cut replacement for Jair before you let him go. Or we're going to be talking for the next year or two about, like, we don't have a cornerback. We don't have a premier cornerback that can lock guys down and do all that. So I think it's a miss if you don't develop a guy and have a guy that you feel really confident can be that lockdown guy before you let Jair go. That's my take on that.
He's Mason Crosby. See Sparky Pfeiffer in for Mitch Thunder. Nellis coming up next. What's your faith in Matt LaFleur to win big games? We've watched his career with Aaron Rodgers. Now we're in a situation for Jordan Love the last couple of years. What's your faith in Matt LaFleur to win big games? It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Back in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.